Okay, today I'm interviewing Kit West, the owner of the Swerve CrossFit in Silva, and then he's the business owner for CrossFit, the one I go to. So, Kit, can you tell me about yourself, please?
Yeah, Don. First, thanks for having me. I'm grateful for that. I'm 48 years old. Lived here about 5 years. Have a wife of 21 years and two boys, 13 and 11. And let me see what else about me. I've always been into fitness and the sports and those kind of things, and have owned a couple other businesses other than this. But right now, it's all about CrossFit.
Okay. Yeah. So what do you do for fun, Keith?
Well, what I do for fun, Don, one, CrossFit. Definitely, that's part of my life. Love to watch my boys play baseball. They play on travel teams out of Knoxville, Tennessee, and so do that almost every weekend when they're playing. So I love being with my family and my kids when I can. Love to ride my bike. Love to run. Done some marathons and some Ironman triathlons, and still love that, but takes too much time with having little kids, so put that on hold, but still love to do it. Love getting outside and enjoying the mountains and hiking and just being outside is, you know, anything fitness-wise I like to do, I think.
Basically, you go outdoor person, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally an outdoor person. Totally an outdoor person.
So what is your experience before you own business? I know you said you own business before. What kind of business do you have before?
Yeah, my experience, I started off, got my degree in physical education, K-12 teaching. So I didn't really actually want to be a teacher, but I wanted to go and get a PhD so I could teach in college.
Wow.
So I got the undergraduate degree and then the graduate degree. But all the time I was getting those, I was working for a summer camp for kids, 13 to 18-year-old kids. It was a sports camp. Mm-hmm. So they would come from all over the world, basically. We would have about 5,000 kids that would come to the camp I was at. And we would do basketball and baseball and soccer and any kind of sport under the sun, jet skis and whatever. So I did that for when I was in college. In the summer. So I was a camp counselor. Okay. And then I kind of moved up, got more responsibility, and then I became the camp director.
Oh, okay.
So in between my master's degree and my PhD, the owner of the camp offered me a job and said, why don't you come and do this for a year? And I said, sure. Well, did that for 10 years. And then we moved to Colorado and opened a camp out there. So that was kind of like, it's a business, because camping, mm-hmm. Running a camp for kids is a business. So we started a camp. It was 1 year, let's see, it was 1 year old when we came, Hope and I, and my wife, and grew that camp, I don't know, 60% over 3 years, and then just was running myself ragged. So we ended up resigning from that job, and then started working for a event merchandising company that did clothing, like t-shirts and apparel. Okay. And everything for major sporting events. So they did we did the Summer Olympics in Beijing, China. We did Vancouver Olympics. We did the Jamaican bobsled team, Denver Broncos. So if you go to the game and you wanted to buy a shirt, then it would be from our company. Then we did a bunch of stuff on QVC, and in that, my wife and I we worked for the company, but we kind of owned and helped start a part of it. It was a branch for a women's bowling tournament. It's kind of strange and random, but it had never been done before, and so we showed up, and we were in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we would take a bowling alley or bowling center, and we would transform it into a store. And there was between 80 and 120,000 women that would come to this bowling tournament. And we would be there for 4 months out of the year.
Wow.
And so that one, our first year, I think we ended up grossing maybe 300, maybe 200 or 300,000 in those 4 months. But we grew it to where we were grossing almost, our biggest year was 1.6 million.
Wow.
In 4 months, which is pretty unbelievable. Our job was to figure out what the customer wanted, And then during the off season, during the winter months, so we would go like April through July, something like that. We had to make all the clothes. So we would go get them made in the United States or we get them made overseas. So I had to design t-shirts and polos and logos and jewelry and shot glass, you know, you name it, all kind of stuff they want to have at the tournament. So did that. And then we wanted to move closer to our family. So we left that job and went to Dallas, Texas, where I was a financial planner. And had to wear a suit and tie. I didn't like that too good. I had to be inside an office, which I don't like. No. Made a lot of money doing that. Made a lot of money being a financial planner. But my father-in-law had started that business like 6 months before. And so I came and helped him. And then we did that for about 4 or 5 years. And then we moved here. Then we started CrossFit Swerve after we got here.
Wow, that is the experience for the running a business, kid.
a lot of crazy stuff, Don.
So what you said, sometimes, what is the key to be entrepreneur? Advice for us to be entrepreneur?
I think the number one is don't be afraid to fail. Because, you know, if you're afraid to fail, like, ooh, if I do this or I try this business, you got to do all your homework. You don't want to do something dumb or stupid, but if you kind of feel like this is what I think is a good idea and I think I want to go with it, but if you're afraid to fail, then you'll never do it. You'll just go, I might lose money. And you know what? You might. You know, you got to make it through that first, you know, here at CrossFit, it's about the first 2 years before you get your feet on the ground and you're just barely floating. Other businesses, you know, and the bowling thing, it took us about 2-3 years to get going. You got to make it through that. But you know, we were always like, hey, let's try this and see if it works. And if it didn't, then we'd try something else. And, you know, you got to be willing to be flexible with your customer. And so I'd say first, don't be afraid to fail. And go out there and try. And then number two is you got to really listen to your customers and see what they're saying. And then you got to filter that a little bit because customers will tell you 1,000 different things. But you got to kind of see, you know, what is it they're saying? And if you don't listen to them, because they're the ones buying your product, then you are going to fail. You know, like, let me try to adjust this or make this work. And then also, if you have to, like, for my business, you know, being in CrossFit, we deal with just people. To help them understand, you know, A, why we had to raise rates, or B, why we had to raise the fit aid price or something. And that helps them understand not just, oh, Keith's just trying to get rich, which we're not trying to get rich. We're just trying to make a living,
yes.
You know, and that's the same for you. So don't be afraid to fail, you know, listen to your customers. And then don't be afraid to, you're going to have to eat some of it. Meaning if, you know, the customer's always right. And if it's not, don't make a mountain out of a molehill is what I'm meaning. So if it's a small issue, you can say, like I never forget this one time, Don, this lady, she wanted a small keychain, this little small thing. And she wanted me, she didn't, the long and the short story was, the keychain was like $5. And she came to this tournament and she said she bought it. I looked up her receipt, she didn't buy it. And she was now in like Michigan and I was in Milwaukee. And so instead of just making a big fat deal about it, $5, I put it in an envelope, ate the shipping, mailed it to her when I know she didn't buy it. Mm-hmm. So I was right, but I did that. And then she, for years after, kept, you know, always come back and she'd buy more than just a $5 keychain.
Oh,
so
okay.
Those kind of things help you out, you know, when you just go,
like that go big beyond of a deal. Even the customer didn't do anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are sometimes that customers do things that you know are blatantly, and you have to stand your ground on those. But that one, you know, a mountain out of a molehill means if it's just a little small problem. I mean, if she'd have said it's a $500, I couldn't have done that, eat that much. But, you know, something small that I could do for somebody and let them know I cared, then I had a customer for life there. Same thing here at CrossFit, you know, just doing acknowledging a birthday or putting somebody's membership on hold or something. You know, I know what the rules are on the website, but I also know, you know, when people get hurt or they have something, some life thing going on, I mean, I've had that happen to me, and I want somebody to treat me the way I'd like to be treated. So if you can do that too, treat them the way you want to be treated, really be successful too.
So the next question for you is, like, what is your motivation to do open the CrossFit in Silva?
Oh, man.
What is the story of the CrossFit in Silva?
Well, I was a CrossFit trainer in Texas when I was a financial planner guy, and I did it because I didn't want to. I became a trainer. I've always been into teaching, you know, and so became a trainer because the fees were $250 a month, and I was like, man, I don't want to pay that. It's too expensive. And so I helped a gentleman, a friend of mine, open a CrossFit box down there. And then when I moved here, there was no CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife and I wanted to keep doing it. So we had a couple dumbbells, and that's about it. And so we were just doing workouts. And then one of our coaches now, Casey, she came and said, I want to do it with you. And so then there was three of us. And then two other guys said, hey, we want to come do that. It was four of us. Then four turned to 30, and then we needed a place to do it. So the church, Webster Baptist, said, you can use our gym. They just built this big gym. Nobody was using it.
Okay.
So we would go over there, and we would have a class 3:30. I would work out with everybody and teach them a little bit about CrossFit, and then it became we have 60 people, and we needed two classes. And so really, if you know, the question is what made me do it or whatever, it was kind of just by accident. Some of the best businesses are by accident. I just saw a need and went, okay, we're going to do it. And then moving over here, just started seeing the church got busier and busier, and we didn't have enough room to do what we were doing. And so just started looking for spots and decided that was the risky part, because over there I had no rent.
Mm-hmm.
It was all free. No heating bill, no electricity, no nothing. So when I moved over here, that was what I was talking about, risk. Not be afraid to risk it, and thought, okay, because a lot of people that wouldn't ever come to the church, they'll come here, but they won't go and come over there. So that's kind of what we did. And then now I think it's more like we have a heart for people just to get fit, because there's a lot of obesity here and a lot of diabetes. And if I could just get people just to come in and not be intimidated, then they would get fit. You know, you're a living testament to that.
Yeah. So what is your target market for your CrossFit? Basically, generally.
That's a good one, because our target market is anybody that wants to get fit. So we have had a 70-year-old grandmother that survived breast cancer, and then 14-year-old kids. A wide range of people. I don't think we have a target market other than somebody that wants to change their fitness life and they want to be better and they're tired of going to the doctor for this and that and whatever. And then that's what we're here for. So, you know, the cool thing is it's not, you know, this is only for 28, 22-year-old men that can breathe fire. It's for, you know, 48-year-old people like me that just do it just so I can play with my kids, you know, or 50-year-olds or 70-year-olds or 12-year-olds. It's for everybody. We even do a Fit Kids, and that's for little bitty kids too, you know, so they can do it too. So I don't know. I think I really have a target market. I just want people to get, you know, I think our target market is people that want to be, you know, want to get in shape. Yeah. Just want to get in shape.
So how do you keep your CrossFit busy all the time compared to other gym around here?
Yeah.
So what is your secret?
Our secret is the people matter, I think. That people really do matter. And, you know, we want people to know that we actually really do care about them. And so if you ever come to a class, which you have, Don, but anybody else, if they come here, then questions are, hey, what did you do last night? How's your day going? How's your weekend? You know, and then we remember the things that people tell us. You know, I know one time you went to see your family, and when you got back, I wanted to ask and see how they were doing. And, you know, a lot of times we'll text people. There's been, since you've hurt your knee, I'll text and say, hey, how you doing? And that really... It's not a marketing plea. Like, we actually really do care about
people.
We just really want them to know it's a safe place and that it can be a place that they can fit in. Everybody wants to kind of fit in. And, you know, we want people. I think our secret weapon, it's not about the cool thing about CrossFit is you can do it anywhere. You know, you can go on the internet and find 1,000 different CrossFit workouts. The problem is actually doing them by yourself. They're usually hard, or you'll quit way before you should. Mm-hmm. But having a buddy that says, hey, Don, keep going, or hey, Keith, keep going, that's what makes it special. And to create that environment where nobody's better than anybody else, we're all in the same boat, even though, you know, Don can run faster than me, or, you know, Jimmy over there can bench press or squat more than me. It doesn't matter. Jimmy's wanting to pull for me, and I'm a, you know, 145-pound weakling. So that's good.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. So, what do you keep your business running when it is slow season? Like, say, some student, I see the student...
Summer kills us, bro.
Like, you know, customer exactly. for you. And then how do you keep up with the... You know, the business. I know it's really hard.
That's a great question. And I've been, I mean, to be honest, that's a little bit of a stump question, because that is the hardest part about having a box in a college town. I met a guy that had one in Appalachian State, and he had to end up closing because he couldn't make it through the summer months or December, January when the college students leave. So I think what during the slow times, what helps us is that we have really tried to make a push not to be just for college students and have people like you and me that can kind of keep us afloat. Now, the summer, to be honest, are very, very thin months. And there are some times I'm like, ooh. But if we can do better during the other months of the year, then it all kind of balance it out. So we're a little bit unlike other CrossFits. Like, if it's a CrossFit over in Bryson City, he doesn't have any college students, so he has consistent income throughout. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ours is, I'll kind of joke around that we're a transient box. So people show up, they're here for 4 years, and then they say bye, and then they go get a job, because there's not as many, you know, full-time jobs for people around here. So, you know, we did things that we did last spring. We did a yard sale. I don't know if you remember us doing that. Try to raise money for the box. I got some T-shirts out there that were misprinted. I'm selling them for $5, and we want to buy some equipment right around for our Christmas party. So things like that I can do, you know, and then try to do, you know, this summer we did the Kid Fit thing for little kids, because they're off in the summer, so we would do a thing for them, and that would help make up the difference. And we want to do more of those. I think Casey and I have we like to do maybe a summer camp out of here, a CrossFit camp or a sports camp for kids in the summer. That would help us get over January and February too. So those are some of the things that we want to do, and that we kind of stumble upon that actually happened, that Kids Fit thing. So that works too.
Okay. So what is the, like you said, the challenge for doing the business for CrossFit?
The challenge?
Like maybe that last summer in summertime.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest challenge is you have an ever-revolving door of people. So you have a good core of them that have, like, bought in. You're one of them that just, this is good for me. I can be in and out in an hour, and I'm the fittest I've ever been, and I'm 48, and so it works for me. Then we have people that come try it out, and then they leave, and so it's a constant trying to replace them. That's why we run, foundation class, which all the new members have to take every month, because you're constantly replacing people. So that's the biggest challenge, is that you're just, you know, if you had, you know, 60 people that always came, that'd be great, but that's not the real world.
Yes.
And that's the same thing if you owned the, like when I owned my T-shirt business, you know, it was, you constantly, you know, how do we get these people to buy again next year? And so you have to be creative. And, you know, for that business, it was more shirts. For this one, it's, you know, maybe different training. Like, you know, we'll follow the main site wads for a little bit, and then we'll do something else and give people a whole lot of variety. So they go, man, it just doesn't get old to me. So you have to do something like that, or, you know, people will, they'll just die off, you know, stop.
So that's when you have to have, like, innovation and creativity, right?
Definitely innovation and creativity. I think, you know, for us, we're selling workouts, which, you know, you can be as creative as you want to be. But you also, you know, if you're kind of a dud, and, you know, you're going to show up at your job and not want to be there. You know, it's not like, ooh, every day. And I mean, sure, you same way with you working. Like, ooh, I just love doing this every day. But you have to, you know, your clients, especially when you're working with people like we are, every day needs, every class too has to be like it's your only class of the day. So I might teach 5 classes a day, but when you show up at 5:30, you know, I could already talk 4 and my voice hurts and I've already demonstrated the front squat 4 times and my hips are hurting. But you don't care about that. You want me to give you the same coaching, everything as everybody else. And so when you do that, I think your clients understand and they go like, man, you know, he gives me his everything. And that's what we want to do. Casey the same way, and Sam and the rest of our coaches. We want to give you guys everything that we can, starting out.
Okay. What is important to grow your CrossFit business in this area?
What is
to make your business more... I know you don't make profit on this business,
right,
but I know you are care with people. What is to make a people coming back to your...
I think it's
care to people?
I think it's the care for people. I mean, it'd probably be good to ask you guys. Why do you keep coming back?
Well, yeah,
I think there's results. I mean, I really think that people... You know, I've had numerous people that... they come and then they go, oh wow, I'm off my diabetic medicine, or man, I'm not having to be on my whatever medicine anymore, and that makes a change in their life. Or for the first time ever, they're able to do a double under, or the first time ever they can hang from a pull-up bar, or heck, we've had people lose 120 pounds. I mean, that alone makes them go, man, I want to come back and keep coming back, you know, because, you know, we always kind of joke around that we're here for you and to coach you all the way, every step of the way, but they're going to have to do the hard work, and they end up doing it. So,
yes, wonderful.
Yeah.
So what is your plan to keep the business running? Just making more customer?
Yeah, well, you have to do that.
What is your marketing? Just from word of mouth?
For us, it's word of mouth. We've tried some other things, Don. We've thought about the billboard. We've thought about, you know...
Radio,
or even the newspaper, Silver Herald or something. But just in talking to people, my mom owns a business down in Silva, and she's tried some of the similar stuff, and she's like, man, word of mouth, like how you treat people. Because if you treat somebody bad and awful and you're not fair with them or whatever, then they're not gonna come back, and they're gonna tell their friends not to come back, and then it just really kills you. So, you know, I think everybody since everybody that's ever come has been, hey, why are you here? Well, either I drove by and saw a bunch of people working out and thought, you know, if that guy can do it, I can do it. Or it's been my sister, my brother, my friend said, well, I'll try this out. And that's how, you know, you should come try it out. So I think it's word of mouth for us. I know a lot of other CrossFits will do a bunch of stuff with, you know, we do some stuff on Instagram and Facebook, and every time we have a foundations, we'll put it out there and say, having a new foundations class, why don't you come, you know, join us. But try to do, you know, for our Instagram, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, put something out there that people kind of see, and maybe they're, you know, in that, I just can't lose weight. Well, I'll try this, you know, because they see us on Insta or Facebook or something. You kind of get that reach out there. T-shirts, you know, we'll do T-shirts every now and then, and people see them around, and, oh, there's a CrossFit in town, and, you know, CrossFit in general has a name for itself, and, you know, every summer they have the CrossFit games, and then we usually get some people off that, hey, I want to try that, or I want to see what that's about. So, I don't have a whole lot of big marketing scheme, I mean, not a marketing scheme, but a marketing strategy, I don't think, and maybe we should do better.
But your CrossFit is more... standing than other CrossFit. I mean, it's more people to come in right here than other.
Yeah, you know, there was another CrossFit in town, and they ended up closing, and just they couldn't be CrossFit anymore. I don't know why that was the case, you know, and maybe it was, I don't know, you know.
It's not much people to come right here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's all bottom line is if people come, then you're gonna make it. If they don't come,
then that
goes back to how you treat people.
Yes.
You know, like, really, do you love them? Do you care for them? Do you care about their fitness? Do you care about... And it goes deeper than that for us. I mean, you know, we want to know, you know, if you have kids that are sick or you have whatever, it helps us to know. So we really get to know you, you know, and know what you do. And so we ask questions not just about your fitness, but, you know where you're from. And
that's why.
You know, for you, you told me one time what dialect you speak, yeah. and you know, what part of Indonesia you're from, blah blah blah, and this helps me understand. It is Indonesia, right?
Yeah, Indonesia.
Yeah, okay. And helps me understand the person a little bit more, you know, because we get people from all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good thing. Yeah. All right, Kit. I think that's my question interview for you, and thank you for your time. I know you're a busy
hey,
man.
Love it. Love it. And I appreciate it. Maybe that'll help somebody else out there and be successful. So.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a nice day.
Okay, you too.